You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening, and welcome to St. John's for worship this evening. Today we continue with the same general focus that we've had since we celebrated Pentecost, and that's that ours is a top-down faith. And today in particular, God's Word shows us that His seed, His kingdom starts as just a small, tiny seed, but it grows into His great kingdom, and He is the one who makes it grow. So really, God defies expectation here. We see that come to the fore in our readings today and especially in our sermon. To guide our worship, we're going to be following setting 2 in the front of the blue hymnal that begins on page 172. If you haven't already, at some point this evening, please do take a moment to sign the Friendship Register. That is the black book in each row of pews. Thank you in advance for doing that. And we'll begin our worship then with hymn 644, Almighty God, Your Word is Cast. May God bless our worship.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Jordan Ertel will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. From the smallest seed grows God's great kingdom. Join us now in singing hymn number 644.
Page 172 in the hymnal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. And for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy and bring forth fruits in faith, hope, and love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. The congregation may be seated. First reading chosen for today from God's Word is recorded in the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 17, verses 22 through 24. Here God speaks of his kingdom in terms of horticulture. He takes something that shouldn't grow and makes it grow, and grow quite great, quite large. This is what the Sovereign Lord says: I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. All the trees of the forest will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for today is Psalm 1. We'll sing that in the form of Psalm 1B. If you would like the music for that, check out the Gray Psalter book, not the Blue Hymnal, the Gray Psalter, page 3. Our second reading from God's Word is recorded in Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. God's Word is sown, and it brings forth fruit. The Colossians were examples of it. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it had been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. This will be the basis for the sermon today. He, that's Jesus, also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. The congregation may be seated. Our hymn of the day is a callback to Jesus' first parable that we just heard about how the sower scatters the seed. Hymn 895, "Preach You the Word." Grace and mercy and peace, these things are yours in abundance from God our Father, through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our consideration this morning is the gospel lesson we just heard, Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. Dear friends, a child asks a farmer, "How do your crops grow?" And the farmer gathers his thoughts and he says, "Well, it's really a long process and it has a lot of steps in it. When the ground thaws in early spring, well, then the field is plowed. And we try to prepare the soil further by adding some fertilizer to it, get those nutrients back into the soil. Then we take the seed of whatever crop we're planting, and we prepare our planting machinery and plant the seeds, and the seeds, they sprout and grow, and we continue to take care of those crops in the field throughout the summer months until the harvest comes. And when they're fully grown, we harvest them." A child asks the same question of a botanist. "How does a plant grow?" And so the botanist gets into all sorts of detail in her explanation of the seed and what it's made of. She explains the process of germination and uses words like epicotyl and hypocotyl and cotyledon and radical. And after the child gets the answer from the farmer and from the botanist, the child says, "Okay, but you still haven't explained how a seed grows. How does it go from being that little seed to a full-grown plant? What makes it happen? What was missing from the answer of both the farmer and the botanist?" Now, both were definitely able to explain the steps, right, of what exactly happened, but neither explained the how, the why, the cause, what was missing. God was missing. Because ultimately, God is the one who makes it grow. God made those seeds to be so complex that something that small can grow into something so big. Ultimately, God makes it grow. And that is what Jesus' point was in Mark chapter 4. We catch up with Jesus here the same day that we actually heard about last week. Jesus was in Capernaum, and a great number of people are there and wanting to see him and hear him speak. And so he took a short walk out to the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He got into a boat and put out a little bit into the water so that everybody could see him and hear him. And he taught those gathered there. And as he normally did in situations like this, Jesus spoke in parables. In other words, he'd use some kind of earthly story or earthly comparison to explain a heavenly, a spiritual truth. But spiritual truths in terms that we can kind of wrap our minds around and understand, because we can relate to them if they're in earthly terms, right? And so Jesus, in our words for today, uses two parables, right? And while the focus of each parable is different, the point ultimately of both is the same. It's the point that child had with the farmer and the botanist. God makes it grow. In that first parable, Jesus talks about a sower, somebody who throws seed on the ground. And the next part of the parable is the key. Listen again to Jesus' words. Talking about the sower, talking about the farmer, Jesus said, "And while he sleeps and rises night and day, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how." The farmer does not make the seed grow. Now, absolutely, he plants it. He may water it. He may fertilize it. But that's it. That simply creates the good conditions What the farmer doesn't do, what the farmer can't do, is actually make that seed grow. Jesus said the ground produces fruit on its own. And it's interesting because the word in the original language that Jesus uses here is the same word that we get our word automatic from. The seed sprouts and grows because God has created and, I guess you could say, programmed plants to grow and grow and produce fruit. Well, the farmer doesn't make any of that happen. He simply has to let God's natural order take its course. It's out of his hands. He plants the seed, and then he waits, and God makes it grow. So if the lesson Jesus wants us to learn here is God makes it grow, then what exactly is the it, right? Well, it's the seed in the parable, right? What's the plant? It's saving faith in Jesus. And the seed is the Word of God. That would make people what? The same thing that you and I were made out of. We're the dirt. The Word of God is sown and proclaimed, and that is where the human action stops and God's action takes over. From that point on, it's all our good and gracious God. God the Holy Spirit is the one who causes his powerful word to sprout and grow saving faith in the hearts of people, of sinners like us. Faith comes from hearing the message. The message is heard through the word of Christ, Paul writes to the Romans. God is the one who causes it to bear fruit. It is God who works in you and me to will and to act according to his good pleasure and purpose. God makes it grow. And it's so important for us to remember that, dear Christians, because it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that we as sowers of God's word have a part to play in the actual creation and the growing of faith. I don't think it's a secret that St. John's is not the church that it once was. We look around on a Sunday and the pews aren't as full as maybe they were a decade or more ago. The church budget is looking rather rosy, and by rosy I do not mean good. By rosy, I mean quite red. Our ministry, together as a congregation, particularly with our school, is in dire need of greater support. And to cap it off, if you look around on a Sunday morning, or in our case, a Thursday evening, it seems that the proportion of gray heads in the pews to not as gray heads is skewing more and more and more on the gray side. We're getting older. The number of funerals far outpaces the number of baptisms. What are we going to do about it? Now, here's what we shouldn't do. We shouldn't fall into the mistaken way of thinking that says that growth in numbers is all there is. That growth in numbers is the measure of a church, of a congregation. We shouldn't look for some magical five-step process that for church growth, that once it's implemented, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be fixed. It's going to be hunky-dory again. The glory days will return. Because no matter what, the fact is, the growth is still happening. Numbers on paper may not be what we want them to be, but the only kind of growth that matters is still happening because God is making it happen. The growth of saving faith in the hearts of people. And that's what happens when the Word of God is sown, when law and gospel are clearly and faithfully proclaimed to God's people. When we stand in the middle of a dying world and we point to the cross of Christ and his empty tomb as the way and the truth and the life, we sow, God makes it grow. That's his promise. So we redouble our efforts. That's what we do. We redouble our efforts in our job given to us by God, which is what? To sow. To toss the seed of the word this way and that in every which way as much as we can. We redouble our efforts in applying our time and our energy and our talents and, yes, our money, because it's not really ours, is it? So that we can be the best, most consistent, most faithful sowers we can be, both as individual Christians and as a group, a congregation of Christians gathered together. Trusting fully that God means what he says, that he's going to make it grow. And as we sow, Jesus' second parable in Mark 4 gives us some more confidence and some more comfort. Listen again to that. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is one of the smallest of all the seeds planted. Yet when it's planted, it grows up to become larger than all the garden plants. How large? So large that the birds of the air can make nests in it. You better have a really big garden if you want to grow some mustard in it, because it's going to take over. Those plants can get 10, 15 feet high, and they're plants, not trees. Matter of fact, that's taller than the apple tree that I planted in my yard a couple weeks ago. Something so small, that mustard seed, so small, so insignificant, it's barely visible, yet it can grow into something so great you would never expect it. Yet just as surely as a tiny mustard seed can become a huge mustard plant, defying all expectation, so also God's kingdom grows through the mustard seed of his word, because God is the one who makes it grow. And there's so many examples of God doing the unexpected, God doing what seems to be a little bit nonsensical in Scripture. Jonah, for example. Remember what God told Jonah to do? Go to Nineveh, the capital city of your arch enemies, and march through the streets saying, 40 more days and Nineveh's going to be destroyed. Now, on the surface, Jonah's thinking, well, it's not going to make one bean of a difference. If one Israelite goes through the streets of Nineveh proclaiming that message, what's going to happen? My life's going to be in danger. That's why Jonah decided to go the other way initially. Yet what did happen? After his little detour with the whale, Jonah does what God told him to do, and the entire city repents. You'd never expect it. Who would have expected that a child born in Bethlehem, a small and insignificant town by worldly standards, would be God in the flesh? Who would have expected that God would make his entrance into this world in a town like that, in circumstances like that? And for that matter, who would have expected that the mighty God who creates all things would rescue sinful rebels by himself dying on a cross. Who would have expected that 3,000 people, just a month and a half after Jesus was put to death on a cross, that 3,000 people would be brought to faith in Jesus in a single day? But that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Who would have expected that from very humble beginnings, some random people from random parts of Israel, from those beginnings, God would make his church grow and grow and grow and spread throughout every corner of the world? Who would expect that anyone would believe that some Jewish man 2,000 years ago is the Son of God and Savior from sin? Who would expect that Jesus can deliver forgiveness and salvation through water being sprinkled on a head? Who would ever expect that Jesus could make himself be present in some dry wafers and a couple sips of wine? Over and over again, God defies expectation, and he accomplishes the impossible. And that is why Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony of God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power." It's God's power at work through that mustard seed. It's God's power at work when we take that seed and we scatter it. It's God's power at work when Christ is proclaimed, and when against all expectation, a soul lost in darkness is brought to the light of salvation through faith in Jesus. God has not given you and me the job of making his kingdom grow. And to think that's our job is to say to God, "I can do your job better." Making God's kingdom grow is way beyond our pay grade, way beyond our ability. No, the job God has given to us is simple, yet it is essential. So the seed of the word, and God makes it grow. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join together to confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The congregation may be seated for the prayer of the church. O Lord, light of the world and saving strength of your people, we thank you for the gift of your word, implanted in the hearts of your people, so that set free from the power of Satan and the fear of death, we may live to serve and honor you. Pour out your spirit on us, that we may grow richly in divine knowledge and spiritual understanding. Bless the proclamation of your word everywhere, so that hearts may be turned from the darkness of spiritual ignorance, falsehood, and despair to the light of knowledge, truth, and life. Be with our missionaries in our own and in distant lands. Protect them, encourage them, and crown their labors with success. Let your word also shine and grow in our homes, that parents and children may dwell together in love and serve one another in kindness and humility. Watch over the sick, the sorrowing, the anxious, the weary. Preserve those who are in any danger of body or soul. Supply us with the Spirit's power that we may be ever comforted by your truth and sustained by your love. And hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private prayers. For these and all the other things you know we need, we confidently ask in the name of him who gave himself for us that we might live through him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And a reminder, if you brought an offering with you this evening and you haven't done so already, please do leave it in the alms box in the back. And with that, we will continue with the sacrament beginning on page 183 in the hymnal. Please stand. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord. Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock until he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Lord God, you are worthy to receive thanks and praise from all people. You created the world and all who live in it, and in your mercy, you saved us. We give thanks to you for the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. Though in very nature God, he took the nature of a servant and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He He offered himself as a sacrifice for sin and redeemed us from its curse and penalty. He rescued us from the terrors of death and restored eternal life with you. He conquered our enemies and gained for us the kingdom of grace and glory. Bless us as we receive your Son's body and blood, and lead us to remember his suffering, death, and resurrection. Forgive our sins and fill us with the hope of new life in heaven. Hear our praise and receive our thanks as we worship you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we pray as Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. We invite the communion confirmed members of St. John's and our sister Wells and ELS churches. Please come forward at the direction of the usher. Until he comes. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us in this sacrament. Through this gift you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. The congregation may be seated. And we will close with our final hymn, 932, Sent Forth by God's Blessing. Good evening again. Reminder, if you haven't signed the friendship register, please do that. Thank you. Just a couple things to bring to your attention. I want to draw your attention to our, well, I lied, I should say three things. Our VBS program is Tuesday, June 25th through Thursday, June 27th from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. It's going to be down at the school. We are still taking, pardon me, we're still taking registrations for that. You can find the form for registering. I believe there are some in the back there, maybe. If not, go to the website, stjohnsbaraboo.org. Scroll down just a little bit. There's a link right there that you can fill out all the information online. Secondly, we are also looking at getting things all set up and ready to go for our fair booth. Every year we have a booth at the county, at the Sauk County Fair, down at the fairgrounds. We're looking for people to man that booth. The sign-up sheet for that is, I believe, on the little podium in the back. Thirdly, I'm not going to say it's desperate, but the need is growing more and more urgent with each passing day. We are in need of a school cook. And so if you or anybody you know would be interested in that or would be willing to serve in that capacity, please do reach out to us. Please do talk to any people or friends that you may know and that are looking for some employment about 6 hours a day during the school year. I have them contact the school. We will be in touch. Finally, I lied again. I meant four. There's four things to bring to your attention. The last Sunday in July, I believe that's July 28th, the last time I checked. July 28th is going to be our quarterly voters meeting at which, Lord willing, we will approve a budget. At that meeting, important information is going to be discussed. Quite frankly, whenever we have had quarterly voters meetings, to call the turnout disappointing, I think, would be an understatement. We have important work to do as a congregation together, and we need more than 19 voting members there if we're talking about the future direction of our congregation and what we are doing. So please mark that on your calendars. There will be important things to talk about that day. And important things to bring to everybody's attention. Let's be a body of believers and let's all be involved. Thank you. With that, everything else that's important is in the bulletin and in the newsletter. God's blessings on your week.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 o'clock a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at the same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 3-year-old preschool through the 8th grade.
Joy, my King, in one.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Worship Service from St.